let me your thoughts around. Lord, please reserve a mansion, robe, and crown.
Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good on this crisp morning. A beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you come our way by way of visitor, thank you for being in our fellowship this morning. Our elders will acknowledge you as a visitor at the end of our worship service. Thank you for tuning in this morning. If you're watching by way of live stream, by way of our television program, hopefully we can minister to you this morning, and we hope that you would allow the Word of God to speak to you. If you have a need, if you have a need to talk with someone, if you call a number on your screen, I know after 10 o'clock live stream, someone probably is not on the phone, but after 10, someone will be answering the phone and would be glad to minister to you this morning. May I categorize you this morning? I'm diving right in. It's kind of a strange statement to make. It's kind of a question. May I categorize you this morning? Not stereotype. Stereotype means to label an entire group based on the behavior activities of a few. So that's not what we mean. To categorize means categories identify realities. Just identify realities. For instance, the U.S. Census Bureau puts all of us in categories. They say that approximately 29% of Americans are in the lower class based on income. And it's just based on how much money we make. They say that the poverty level in the U.S. in 2018 is less than $12,140 annually. So a person is making that amount of money. The Census Bureau lists you on the poverty level. I can agree with that. But, you know, not according to the God, but according to the Census Bureau. They say that two people making $16,460, you are considered in the lower class as far as income, $25,000 for a family of four. They say that if you're in the middle class, your income lies between $39,000 and $118,000 based on your family size. And so that you would be, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, in the middle class. If you are in the upper class, they say that a single person would make $72,000, that a couple would make beginning at $102,000. A family of four would make over $144,000 or more. That's what class they list you in, although I don't know why they say upper class. $144,000 is not all to me. I guess it's relative, but you know, you wouldn't be rich according to money, I don't think. But that's the way they list you, put you in that category. Some of it is for tax purposes, but you know, you can fight it, but you're still in that category. As a matter of fact, last week we talked about, we tried to put forth church goals for us in 2000. By the way, this is officially the first Lord's Day of the year. I think last week we thought that was the first Sunday, but it wasn't. Today is the first. And we talked about some goals for the year, for the church. Church, well, I know all of us have our own individual goals. One of the goals was 100 souls collectively as the people of God. 100 souls. Is that a noble goal? That was a kind of weak amen, I guess. One of the goals was for us as members of the body to be involved in at least one ministry of the church. One, at least one minute. If you're a member, One ministry. That's one of the goals that we hope to see happen. One of the goals was our goal, our theme for the year is what? Consecrated. Which means to set apart for a divine purpose. Not an earthly, not a worldly goal, but for a not of this world goal. Set apart for a divine purpose. One of the goals was to consecrate ourselves. We passed out calendars last week to all our members. We still have some more. If you didn't get a calendar, I think we have some out in the lobby. Make sure you get a calendar. We did that for you to look at all of the activities that's going to be going on this year at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And some of them we set apart as consecrated. We want you to set apart some time, some energy, some resources for a divine purpose. And hopefully you've had a chance to look at the calendar and decide, listen, this is what I'm going to be involved in. This is what I'm blocking this time off for God. Yeah, yeah. So, and then one of the goals was we call it an expansion plan for the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And we introduced it in phases, phase one and phase two. And some of you, quite a few asked me after worship, said, Brother Gary, you didn't designate a plan for us to accomplish this. How we gonna cover this bill? It's $3-4 million for phase one, and then you know phase two. How are we gonna do it? And we didn't, because just because of time. I preached an hour last. You don't want me to preach an hour this morning, do you? And I just, time wouldn't allow us to, we've thought about it, the elders have thought about it, we've talked about it. Let me just mention this briefly. The plan is really simple. The plan is really simple. Would you, Junior, can you pull up the first screen? I had a passage, I don't know if you have a passage, the first screen, we talked about the financial plan for. I just want to mention this briefly. I don't know if he has time to pull it up. I want to mention this briefly as we get into our lesson. Is it possible? Can they hear me back there? Show me a sign. Wave. Oh, he said, okay. Okay. Did he hear me? Oh, you got, okay, he waved, okay. Second, he can't hear me? I asked him to pull up the first slide, okay. Let me see, the first slide is 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. He did, okay, in verse number 7. Every man as he purpose in his own heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is New Testament. You know, under the Old Testament law, the Israelites were commanded to give a tithe. Is that right? Tithe is a tenth of their earnings. In Leviticus chapter 27, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Bible, in many instances, they gave a tithe. A tithe, they were commanded to give a tenth. Under the New Testament, we have no such command, but we have passages that talk about giving. And so one of the things that we talked about, elders and myself, we discussed it. Are we going to ask the church to pledge money? Or are we going to ask, well, we're going to do bonds and we say, well, no, let's don't do that. Let's just ask the church to give. Can I get an amen? and we say, listen, we're under the new covenant. If the church just give, I'm talking to members now. If you're visiting, we love you, but I'm talking to those that's members of this body. If we would all give 10% of our earnings, I promise you, we will be all right. There's no doubt about it. Some of you look at the bulletin, look at our offering, and if we would all give 10% of our earnings, we would be fine. Well, I mean, promise you, we'd be totally fine. I put some, now pull up the next screen. I just put some estimates. So that means if you're making $250 a week, 10% of $250 is what? $25. $25. Who gave us our jobs? Who gave us the health and strength to go on our jobs? God does. Is $25 out of $250, is that too much? Yeah. And so we just said we're going to appeal to from the Word of God without beating the church over the head. If you're making $1,000 a week, see, we spend our money on a whole lot of things, don't we? I mean, you think about it. We spend our money on things. Some of us spend more money on plants for our yard. Amen. When we buy all kind of things. Yeah, you know, some of us, if you play golf twice a week, yeah, maybe I'm not messing with the golfers, but I'm just saying we got the money here right in the church. We do. And that's 10%. Listen, we're not commanded to give 10%, but you know what? The sacrifice they sacrificed under the old covenant was bulls and goats and turtle doves. Who is our sacrifice? A one-time sacrifice. We have a better sacrifice. We're under better covenant. And so we say, well, you know, we just ask the church to give 10%. We'll be all right. But I don't know. This is what we committed to. We talked about it. Say, you know what? We need to lead by example. And if we gave, that's 12%. 12%. So if you're making $250, I'm not talking about, if you're making $100 a week, who blessed us with that $100? So I don't make but $150 a week. Well, thank the Lord you can make that. Amen. Amen. And we're talking about us doing this together. And so this is our appeal to the church as we paint vision, as we paint goals, as we try to commit our energy, our resources, is to make a commitment. Now, this is not just talking about for next Sunday. Well, amen. Amen. Yeah, I had so many people say, oh, but again, I'm excited about the goals, the churches we've set. Let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. Let's make it a way of life for us to give. And I just want to lead it. I put these numbers up here. We're talking about if you're a member of the body and you are making some income, we are not exempt from giving to the Lord. Amen. Care what it is. Care if you're a teenager working at McDonald's and making $75 a week. I don't care if you have a business and you're making 50 million. And then this is us doing it together. And then, you know, God has been extra. Sometimes God bless us like things we don't even expect. And there are those who we are blessed more than others. And God doesn't exempt us. Pull up the next screen. Pull up the next screen. Pull up the next screen. Listen to this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Those of us that are extra blessed, bless God. Yeah, bless God. Barnabas sold his property to bless the church. Yes, I'm saying that in churches, in the Church of Christ. It's a personal matter. We're not doing inspections on anybody. But if you extra blessed, if God has been good to you, the Bible tells me as a preacher to instruct the rich folks to be rich in good works. So go and give it. Yeah, whatever it is. For the cause of Christ. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. That's what God says. And then a final admonition is this. Pull up the next screen. final admonition is this. Next screen. He can't hear. Okay, no more screens. But I will say this, that except our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, the Bible says we will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So that's, we leave you with that. That's our financial plan for our phase one as we try to bless the kingdom here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. May I categorize you? Scripture categorizes all people. Yeah, the U.S. Census Bureau puts us in categories. People, you know, the news puts us in categories. Listen to the Bible in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke 19, 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. According to Scripture, all people are in two categories. One is the saved. The other is the lost. Can I make it a little bit more personal this morning? Which category are you? That is just, which category are you? I don't like nobody putting me in a category. Well, they do it anyway. Amen. And God has the authority to put us in categories. Let me be a little bit more specific. Saved from what, Brother Gary? Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. Through him, the scripture says. James chapter 5, verse 20. James 5, 20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death. It's not talking about the physical death. Because all of us are going to die, aren't we? Amen. See, some things I love. See, I love the Bible when it makes a profound point that nobody can wiggle around. Yeah. Because we argue about a lot of things, but there's some things you can't argue about. Because they're going to happen. Amen. And he says, so what do you say? So it's talking about spiritual death. What are you talking about? It's talking about a separation from God forever. Yeah. That's what the scripture is talking about. And it says, if you save a soul from you save a sinner from the error of his ways, that you will save his soul from spiritual death. It says, and you will cover a multitude of sins. See, a little bit more specific. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Matthew 25, 46. These will go. You have the lost. He's talking about the lost in this instance. These, the lost, will go away into eternal punishment. We're not talking about, this is no joke, church. Amen. This the real deal. This is what the rubber meets the road. See, you might not ever become a rich person according to the U.S. Census Bureau, but this, you do not want to be lost. Amen. Your soul will be lost. And he says eternal punishment. Then it goes on to say, but the righteous, the saved, into eternal life. The Bible puts every person in this world in a category. And you in one, even this morning, I know we came to church. I know we're in here this morning, but God has you already in a category. Oh, but thank the Lord, as long as you got blood running through your veins, as long as you have life and you have the right use of your mind, you can change categories. As long as you got life. But Lord have mercy, I hope you're here this morning and you don't want to go from saved to lost. But if you're lost, I hope you want to go from lost to saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. My goodness, I'm trying to get perspective this morning. Yes, I mentioned to the church congregation, we driving home, we've set a church-wide goal to try to be instrumental in saving at least 100 souls this year. And we got to hit the ground running. It's going to take all of us. And I know at the 8 o'clock service, we know most of the time all the saints, but somebody in here is not saved this morning. Yeah, and so we're appealing to your hearts because of the sense of urgency. Why are you doing that, Brother Gary? Because God has given, notice, the saved. He's given the saved the ministry of reconciliation. And see, what does that mean? What does that mean? See, the word reconciliation means to restore back to a right relationship with God. To reconcile. In other words, God created Adam, he was in a saved state. He was in a heavenly state. He was in paradise. But he sinned, and that got him on God's bad side. Not only did it get Adam on God's bad side, it got us on God's bad side. So he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, of trying to restore back to a relationship without condemnation. Well, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's one of our major purposes in life. Is to be an instrument to restore people back in a right relationship with God, including ourselves. Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation to the saved. Because you know you can't save nobody unless you save first. Amen. We do know that, right? Yeah, yeah. So our goal, and the best gift we can give anybody in this world, the best gift you can give anybody is the opportunity for salvation. Amen. Who in here don't want all your children to be saved? Yeah, I mean, don't we want our children to stand before God in a right relationship? Yeah. Don't we want our spouses to say amen, please? Yeah. Yeah. Let's give them that gift. Yeah, see. And so what are you saying? Now, listen, let's get into more detail. See, this lost category, there are actually categories in the category of the lost. And I'm starting the year off like this because we are trying to empower all members of the body, saved of the body, with the tools that they need to save others. And some of us we lack confidence, we lack knowledge. We sometimes our spirits we don't have the right attitude. And I want to identify these lost folk because, see, we need to know who what we're dealing with. See, the lost category includes the unchurched. What do you mean? That's some folk who've never been. Some of us grew. How many of you here this morning? You've been in the Church of Christ for most of your life. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've been in the Church of Christ most of your life. That's a good group of people in it. Not everybody. Maybe looks like maybe half or maybe a little bit over half. And there are those, not listening, and there are a lot of individuals who grew up in no church at all. You wouldn't believe that if you grew up like I did. I've been going to church since I was a little boy. But in the world we live in, some of us, we need to get out a little bit more. We need to talk to folks. There are a lot of folks, and studies call them the unchurched. They didn't grow up in a church environment. If you're here and you really didn't grow up in a church environment, raise your hand. Church, raise your hand. You didn't grow up in a church environment. Look around. Now. See, I know some people take offense if you're watching by way of television or even you hear that. Some people, well, girl, don't leave me. You shouldn't call people unchurched. Well, it's a category just to say that you didn't grow up in a church environment. I'm not trying to offend anybody. Amen, somebody.
Yeah, we're not trying to offend anybody. We're just trying to identify who and see, you can fight it if you want to. And it's nothing necessarily wrong for you not being in a church environment. What we're talking about is where you are right now. Yeah. Because we all got a past. We got folk that grew up in the Lord's church, and they the biggest. They're not in here this morning. So you know that. Don't even fret about that. But the unchurched, they don't have to see, like, you have a kind of a foundation of the Bible. You know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Folk is unchurched. They hear that and say, Deuteronomy, who? Who is Mark? And I'm serious, and it's not any joke, but you're talking about the unchurched, the unexposed. They've been exposed to all kinds. You have the religious folk. Amen. You have a lot of folk who grew up in a church, some kind of church, and they got a religious background. And what do you mean, Brooke? You mean you can have religious folk and they still in the lost category? Hello? I'm not going to harp on it this morning, but you look in the book of Acts and you see that a number of the conversions are religious folks. So it's not about religion. You know, we're not talking about that. And then there are some folks who are confused and indifferent. Some folks who are agnostics or who are atheists. That's some folk who I don't know what to believe, so I'm not going to believe. I'm just going to do me. A lot of folk in that category. Then you have the procrastinators. Folk who know, who've heard, who it even touched their hearts. But they don't. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk about that tonight at the evening service, the procrastinators. And then you have the rebellious folk. All these folk are in the lost category. Amen. Some folk who are enemies of the kingdom, who would defy. Who would try to discredit, not the, they don't discredit the word, but they'll discredit the people. And so all of these characters, just for a moment, before my time to sit down, I want to address the unchurched. I want to address the unchurched because we're going to run across all these kind of people in our lives. And listen to Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, and ignorance is, you know, There's a saying that ignorance is bliss. I don't know who said that. And I guess there may be some instances, some things that you don't need. And for instance, you don't need to know what crack cocaine feels like. Amen. So I would please be ignorant of what it feels like. You know, don't be something. Well, I just want to try it one time. Let it go. But there are some things that we definitely don't want to be ignorant about. The scripture says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all, people, I say all. Notice, the Bible is clear. He says all people everywhere should repent. That's what the scripture said. Because now we're talking to, see, what are you saying, Brother Gary? Now, you might be unchurched. You might never set your foot in a church. You might not know none of the books of the Bible. You might not understand what's going on in the Bible. But the scripture says, he said, that was the time that God winked at or overlooked ignorance. God was tolerant of ignorance. But the Bible said, but now, everybody say, but now. When is now? The Bible said there is no excuse. God gonna well, she didn't grow up in the church. God, well, he don't understand, or they just don't know. Not anymore. And see, the word repent means to turn from. God commanding everybody to turn from sin. And he identifies it. Listen to what else it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know. So don't say, well, you know, I don't want to hear no Bible. I don't want to talk about it. Because see, if I don't know God, not so. And if you're listening to this right now, we fix to take that excuse away from you. Whether you are on your couch or whether you're in here this morning. Because it's not going to be an excuse who do not know God, notice, and who do not obey. So we're trying to get from saved to lost. And this is the process that God has instituted for everybody. Every person in the world. But to the unchurched, you know, I identify this group because our approach to the unchurched, you know, we need to be careful with our approach to the unchurched. See, we need to approach not only the unchurched, but we need to approach everybody with love and compassion. Do I need to stay? I want to finish my lesson. But church, especially church folks, don't lose your compassion. Don't lose putting yourself in another person's place. You remember when Jesus, he caught the woman in the very act of adultery? And some of you say, "Ooh, Lord." This woman was caught in adultery without a doubt. And the whole multitude of people wanted to stone this, wanted to kill this. I wonder what a man was. Can I drop this in? This is on my heart. I watched night before last and part of last night, Surviving R. Kelly. To our glowing, which one's the teenagers? Glowing. To our glow sisters, y'all need to make the girls sit down and watch that. To Brother Raj, to the M&Ms, the boys need to watch that. You know what? You need to watch that. I got upset thinking about it. Jesus told that woman, he asked the woman, "Where are your accusers?" That's what he asked this woman, "Where are your accusers?" And they all left because he told them, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." So they looked at their life, and so they just left because they knew they had sin. Now, but Jesus didn't let the woman off the hook. So the one, "Well, thank you so much, because I know I got a lot of things wrong with me, and people don't, you know, that's okay." But Jesus also told her, "You go and sin no more." I don't care who you are. Yes, God is loving, God is compassionate, but the truth is still the truth. There still has to be a change. See, everybody, and this is why the unchurched, every person must recognize. If a person don't recognize they lost, why they want to be saved? Every person must recognize their condition. Even the unchurched. And so my approach to the unchurched would be, I know a lot of folks, a lot of times we in church, we want to start off with the church. Well. But see, the primary directive, the primary job, the primary challenge of the first century apostles were to convince folks that Jesus is Lord. That's the primary function. That was their primary job. It wasn't trying to convince folk that you don't need to be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Scientologist. That was not, because they were not even around. And his primary directive was getting folks to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And what are you saying, Brother Gary? Our approach to the unchurched is to get them to know who Jesus is first. We don't need to make that second. We don't need to make that third. That needs to be first. Amen. Because they don't know who Jesus is, they're not going to be saved. Amen. And so when we approach him, I would approach the person and ask him, do you know who Jesus is? Well. To the unchurched. And many of them might say, "Well, you know, I've heard of Jesus. I know, yeah, of course. I see his name or everything. People wearing all these crosses." But the question is, do you really know him? Well, and I have to take him to the Word of God. And I know some unchurched folk would have different questions, especially in our day and time. They might ask, well, I don't even know how we got here. Don't be scared. Well, don't be alarmed when an unchurched folk ask, I don't even know how we got here. And that's almost a different lesson. I just dropped this one. There are three predominant views of how we got here. Three predominant views. One is the theory of evolution. You know, Darwin's theory of evolution, that we evolved, that really, it actually almost implies that something came out of nothing. And if I'm talking to somebody, I would just say, do you really believe that a spoon, if I put this spoon on this table, you really believe we can just wait a million years and it's going to turn into something else? I would just appeal to that logic, common sense. What comes from nothing? The other predominant theory is the Big Bang theory, that there was this huge explosion. I wish I started to bring a tub. I've done it before. There was a huge explosion, and everything just blew up, and everything fell in place. And that's how the world got started. Now, John, do you believe that? Do you believe order can come from chaos? The third predominant view is the creation theory, that a great mind, that somebody smarter than us created us. Amen. If he asked me that question, I would say something like that. Then I got to take him to the Word of God, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, I wouldn't go through all of the passages, but I would read Genesis 1:26, where it says, then God said, let us make man. God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. And I'll ask you, do you know who the us is? When the Bible said, then I would take him to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Word was, yes, sir. Notice, the Word was with God. The Word was God. Yes. Yes. Do you understand what? Then I dropped down to verse number 14. I see, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. See, John, the Word is talking about, the us is talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who God sent. I'm trying to get him to understand who Jesus is. And then I have to take him a little further to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 18. Listen to what the Bible says. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that, and this is to Christians, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now, he's talking about God. He says, God, this is what I'm praying. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Listen to verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also, see, Jesus is above every name. Amen. You like to read, John? I like to read books. You like to read philosophers? I like to read philosophers. Are you like interested in history? I love history. I love people of history. I name the greatest man that you could ever think. Well, I think Gandhi is a good man. Muhammad is a good man. I like reading Buddha. Well, the scripture said there is no other name given among men whereby. The scripture say we must be saved. Jesus is imminent. He's dominant. He is over all. The scripture says, let me continue reading. And he put all things, the scripture says, in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Yes, sir. Let me rush to a close. John, do you understand why Jesus left heaven and came to earth? Come on. Because that was this huge problem. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. This is the problem, John. This is the problem. This is mankind's problem. It's sin. It's sin in the world. Now, see, I'm talking about sin in general, but really to prick somebody's heart, they got to realize that they have sin. We have to really realize that we are lost. See, notice what you're saying, John. Every person in the whole world is under the death penalty. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans 5, 6. For while you were still helpless, the brother read in your hearing this morning, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm just trying to explain to you why God, Jesus, the creator of the world, left heaven to come to this earth. The scripture says, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps the good for a good man, someone would dare even die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved, John, from the wreck. One day God, listen, the scripture says in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then at each one of us will give an account. God, do you think we on this earth just to go footloose and fancy free, do what we want to do, and just be all about me? What are you saying, Brother Gary? You might never have been involved with a church. You might not know anything about church. But one day, all of us are going to give an account to the Creator. Nobody's going to slide. President Trump will stand before God and give an account. Stop trying to worry. Well, the world, there's so many bad people. There's some good people in the world, too. That's some folk who's seeking truth. And what I'm saying is, I don't care who you are. Stop worrying about everybody else. Be selfish this time and worry about yourself. Amen. Because everybody's going to give. If you're a teenager, if you understand, you will get. I'm kind of waiting until I get older so before I get serious about God. If you know right from wrong, you better do it right now. Amen. Amen, somebody. See the word. See, a person had their position, their place. They need to know right now. There's a sense of urgency. I need to get this right today. Amen. And the scripture says, but thanks be to God that through you who were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. Now this is where you got to make sure you got their attention, because see, some folks they hear that and say, "Oh Lord, praise the Lord, ooh, that, I feel good, I'm hearing the truth." But that's something we got to do. Amen. He says to that form of teaching, and he may ask, "What teaching are you talking about, Brother Gary?" In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." This is the word gospel, good news, communication. It's the word of God. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. Listen, for salvation to everyone who believes. Yes, sir. You see, so John, you got to know what the gospel is. Yes. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, if I had time, I'd read the whole chapter to you and tell you what Peter told him and the rest of the apostles told the whole group. He says, men and brethren, that same Jesus whom you crucified. Yeah, God has made him. He is now Lord. He is the ruler over all. And that's the good news, that he came, he lived, he died on the cross for all of our sin. Now do you understand why Jesus came to this earth, John? He came to save us from our sins. The scripture says if you die in your sins, where he is, you cannot come. And listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 36, and notice this. And John, when they heard this message, when they heard the gospel, it's God's way. It's the only way a person is going to be saved. Everybody has to do it the same way. They have to sit and listen to the word of God. Amen. The scripture says it pricked their heart. It touched their heart. It pierced their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, John. That's what the Bible says, that the unchurched, anybody, everybody must do. You got to return from all of your sins and be baptized for the remission of, for the forgiveness. John, have you ever sinned before? Oh, Brother Gary, don't ask me that question. You know I've sinned. John, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not trying to be, because you know what? I got some sins that I'm embarrassed about. See, you, I'm no better than you. You no better than me. The only difference right now is that I've done what they did in the Bible in order to go from lost to saved. That's the only difference. But we are both the same in God's eyesight. The only difference is the decision and the commitment that I made. Listen to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. In other words, you can't be ashamed that you're a child of God. confession is made unto salvation. On the day of Pentecost, when they heard that mission, that they heard that sermon, they asked the question with their mind, what shall we do? We believe. And he told them, repent and be baptized. And after hearing this message in Acts chapter 8, verse number 36, I want to bring a sense of urgency to this gentleman, because I know we might not ever have this conversation again. And you might not have ever kept this conversation. I appreciate your attention. I appreciate you even listening. I appreciate you reading these scriptures. But I can't leave you without a sense of urgency. Listen what the Bible says in verse 36. And as they went on their way, he's talking about a man who was reading his Bible. And then Philip came and taught him. He says they came to a certain water. He taught him the gospel, the word, the message I just delivered to you. He says, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me from being back? He saw the sense of urgency. He was lost. He said, I need to be. That's something I got to do. And this is what the scripture says. And Philip said to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Amen. That's what happened in the scripture. And I hope I'm not being too emotional, and I hope I'm not being over the top, and I hope you're not thinking I'm being dogmatic and trying to beat you over the head. I'm just showing you in the Bible. I'm showing you in the Bible what men and women who were lost, what they did, the process that they went through. And John, can I ask you a question? Do you feel a sense of urgency? Do you want to be right in Jesus Christ? And then, you know what? I just need to be quiet. Sometimes we talk too much. Well, are you ready? Are you ready? You want to do it now? Don't you think you need to do it now? I don't know who the person is. I don't know what kind of relationship we have. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The latter part of that verse, the scripture says, and the disciples were called Christians. And that's what you will become, is a Christian. A child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, if you obey according to the word of God, you will then be categorized as saved in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. See, those of you that say right now, you ought to be bubbling over right now. Knowing that you just, listen, you know what? If the people ask you, yeah, I'm saved. Are you sure you're saved? According to the scripture. And no, this is the process. This, John, this is for everybody. Can I say something else? I don't want to say too much, but listen, the Bible says disciples were called Christians. See, they weren't called Lutherans. I'm not bad mouthing anybody else. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. They weren't called Scientologists. They weren't called Catholics. They weren't called Baptists. They weren't called Methodists. They were not called. I'm just telling you in the Bible what they were called. And you know what? That's why I'm glad that I'm just a Christian. Amen. And John, right now, some of you in the Church of Christ, on you, oh, but drive it home. Let them know that they need to be. Just listen. Listen. We're going to teach them. Now, they need to understand. I would tell John, according to the scriptures, God has one body. They want all people. And I say that to somebody in here this morning. We don't apologize. You might have run across a dogmatic, some kind of a person that told you that you ain't in the Church of Christ, you going to hell. If you're a Church of Christ member, you need to get that out your vocabulary. Stop saying that to people. But what you can say to them, if you're not in the body of Christ, if you're not in the church that you can read about in your Bible, how can you think that you're going to see God in peace? Yeah. See, listen, because according to God, there is only one body. And I say that to us in the Church of Christ, because see, maybe I should say this about other folk in other churches. But if we don't be careful, a lot of us that's so-called in the Church of Christ, heaven's doors are going to shut to you. Amen. But we do not apologize for teaching the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Where there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're going to keep on teaching that. Amen. Amen, somebody. And you know, there's some other things that, yes, we need to learn about the scriptures and learn about God. But John, right now, you need to get in Christ. Amen. Jesus. The way they did it in the Bible. Because any other way, according to the scriptures, you are not in Christ. You are not saved. There's somebody here that needs to come to the Lord. Is there somebody here that needs to get something right with God? You need to do it right now as we stand.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening.
Yes, I'll be somewhere
listening.
I'll be somewhere
listening.